According to a number of recent polls, inflation, the cost of living, is the top concern for Canadians. Climate change also regularly ranks up there with the list of concerns, although I'm not convinced that a lot of people make the connection with the rising cost of living or how much of the increase is self-inflicted due to the push to discourage investment in oil and gas production before there's a viable replacement. Look, I'm not just talking about things like, you know, you might have heard the proposed SUV tax for owners, an extra $4,000 maybe a year, and they got other initiatives like that. No, it's far more fundamental. From divestment movements to protests to government regulation, it's all discouraged capital investment in fossil fuels. Bloomberg estimates that about 1,500 investment institutions have committed to divesting in oil and gas firms, and you've also got universities, pension funds, and foundations jumping on board. So here's a stat. Global capital investment in fossil fuels is down over 50% since 2014. Yet, at the same time, demand's increasing. And it's not just because we're coming out of the depths of the pandemic, but also increasing because we've got higher demand from developing nations. It's going to continue right through the next decade. But it's key to understand that this is happening at a time when renewable energy is not anywhere close to being able to provide the electricity necessary to power the grid. Well, we're already seeing results, by the way, of increasing demand over supply when you look at oil prices now at a 7-year high. We have the French finance minister declaring that Europe is experiencing an energy emergency, reflected obviously when he looks at shortages, factory closures, along with skyrocketing natural gas and coal prices. And the same thing's happening in China. Now, look, I want to remind you that prices for something like oil are not going to rise in a straight line. There will be ups and downs like we've seen actually in the last year, but the trend is up. And that takes us to the big worry about our cost of living. We're about to get a profound lesson in how important relatively cheap energy is to our standard of living. And it's not just how much it costs to gas up the car or heat our homes or electrical bills. Our industrial base is built on cheap energy. If you want renewable energy, well, consider that the mining for the minerals necessary is powered by fossil fuels. Thousands of products are made with petroleum. Of course, the cost of every good is increased because we've got rising transportation costs. You know, as a side note, it is interesting how vilified fossil fuels have become, given how essential they've been to creating our standard of living. But I'll leave that for another time. My point is that if you're concerned about your rising cost of living, well, just wait. When it comes to the cost of fighting climate change and net zero, you can personally decide, is that price worth it or not? What are you willing to pay to transition to renewable and or nuclear energy? But you should at least know the price. I'm surprised, by the way, given the level of support for climate change initiatives, how little the costs have been featured in the discussion. So I want to direct you to the Parliamentary Budget Office and their report that estimates the cost of achieving the climate goals set out by the federal government, which sees Canada meeting, even exceeding the Paris Accord targets. So let's start with carbon prices. Right now, we're going to get a $50 a ton. It's an increase on April 1st, up to $50 a ton. But that's only the beginning. The Parliamentary Budget Office estimates that carbon prices will need to tack on another $120 to a total of $170 a ton in order to meet the targets we've set. And that, by the way, is their most optimistic scenario. And it's predicated in other actions, you know, things like when we retrofit buildings, we'll achieve significant carbon reductions. Well, that's guaranteed to be a huge problem in British Columbia, for example. That's the home of the original revenue neutral carbon tax in 2008 that stipulated that all revenue collected was by legislation returned in the form of lower individual and business taxes. Well, the NDPs removed the tax breaks when they came to power. So now the vast majority of the population and businesses don't receive a tax break for the millions they pay in carbon taxes. Even the federal rebate program does not cover all of the money collected. So you got the Parliamentary Budget Office suggesting that we're going to triple the carbon tax in order to meet our goals. Well, I'll tell you, that's going to devastate some businesses and individuals. And that, by the way, is on top of higher energy prices. So if you're worried about the cost of living, I think you should worry a little more. My point is higher energy costs, as well as the increased costs of consumer goods and food, which we are beginning to see now as a result of the efforts to curtail fossil fuel investment and production before renewable energy can take place. And that's along with the increases in the carbon tax. Well, it's going to have people concerned about inflation or their cost of living looking back at today's increases, which are raising such concerns. Hey, those were the good old days.